Welcome everybody to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Issue number 29.
Woo.
We're almost up 30.
Yeah. Our woos get slightly older and less enthusiastic each time.
Each woo is slightly more cynical than the other. I am one of your hosts. I am Nat, one of your hosts, and with me as always is
Pat.
I'm Kat and not Pat today.
Not
adjacent to hat though.
Yeah, I'm in Nat without hair gel today too.
Oh, I thought something looked different about you.
Yes, the Nat who isn't feeling well, so he's like,
you got your natural hair.
Yeah, it's my natural hair.
Natural hair.
Oh,
hey. God. Oh God. Okay, take me away from that. Let's get into news so we don't have to dwell on that.
I think we should jump right into one of the a sort of recurring topic, which was the casting of Batwoman, or the potential that Batwoman was going to be a series and then it was going to be cast. So Ruby Rose has been cast as Batwoman on the CW family of shows. So Kat, what do we think about this?
As the
Let's jump
Batwoman
right to you.
Woman here.
God. So it's been a rough week for me. So I have no patience for nothing right now. For me personally, I don't care for Ruby Rose as much. That's just kind of like a moot point. And for me, it's like, let's pick the most popular lesbian actress we can think of. I'm like, how about you pick somebody who can just be her? Whatever. Anyways, moving on. But the other part of it is like, she had to deactivate her Twitter and comments on her Instagram because there's so much hate from this. And it's not like, I was like, Ruby Rose! And I like ran to my phone and like started being a douche. But it literally comes down, people are saying she isn't gay enough, which I don't know what that means.
Yeah. I have no comment on that.
For people like me who don't tweet, is that basically what everyone is up in arms about, that she's, quote, not gay enough?
I guess. I don't even know. I don't even know what that means.
So is she actually gay in real life? Gay.
Yeah, like, actually, I think her statement before the, like, leaving Twitter, she said that she's been out since she was 12. So, like, yeah. Anyway.
I feel like that's pretty gay.
Yeah. I mean,
well, in the back of my mind, I'm like,
scale for
okay,
these things.
what is gay enough mean? Alright, do you like the same sex? If your answer is yes, you're gay. So
you're
gay enough.
So I'm going to step away from that, like, the controversy aspect of it and just talk about the casting in general. So, ironically enough, when this announcement was made, I had zero knowledge of who this person was. Like, Patrick and I, even like last time we recorded, and you mentioned who was a front runner, and we're like, mm.
Yeah.
Like, no idea who's
sure that's supposed to
who is
ring
that?
A bell.
In the interim time frame, I've seen John Wick 2, and she is one of the primary antagonists in that. She's fantastic, but she's also mute in the movie, so I don't know what she sounds like. So
she's in Orange Is the New Black, I think, is the first thing that she was really big in. Okay. I don't
she
know what
like
that was
Gilbert
her
Gottfried.
First.
I don't know.
Right? That would be an interesting take on a superhero.
her Batwoman voice. Hello there, criminals!
For me, there's always a squawk at the end of Gilbert Gottfried's voice because he's always Iago.
He's always right. Iago.
On the surface level, I really dig this casting, and I think it's because I can tell she has the action chops, and I think I want an action-heavy show from this, like somebody who can go toe-to-toe with Arrow and kick his ass. So I think she has that going for it. But like I said, I haven't heard her speak. And in the last conversation that we had, like the militaristic part of her story, I don't know if that's being delved into. And it seems
I still don't know. I'm still not for sure on that. It'll be something that we won't find out until either until the crossover or until the actual show itself.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, I have no... An actress or actor, they can, while, you know, they do great jobs, they can really only do so much depending on how good the script and directing is.
Yeah.
So.
And like I said, I don't care for her as much. Like, I'm not going to, oh, God, there's no patience anymore for this stuff. It's ridiculous. I just can't, God, stop ruining things.
I'm at least optimistic. CW has at least shown that their first seasons.
Yeah, their first seasons
are
really good.
Are just spot on and phenomenal. Where the show goes from there is up in the air,
right.
But so I'm at least gonna watch the first season of Batwoman for
the
sure.
The rule that I've had for, I don't know, a long time is I can't complain about something unless I've seen it. There's only two things that I know of that slide under that radar, and one of them is 50 Shades of Grey. So, like, in that entire series, that's the only one that can slide underneath that rule, because I tried to read the books and I couldn't read them.
But... Don't knock it till you try it, I guess. It's a good rule for everyone out there. Yeah. Well, not for everything. You know, heroin. I'm going to knock that before I try it.
And with, like, movies and TV shows, I can't complain about it until I've either seen the first episode or I've seen the movie. That's why I won't complain about Han Solo. I can't. I don't know about it.
Fair enough.
That's an entirely different discussion. Yeah.
Cool. Well, do you have anything for us, Kat, then, I guess?
I just have one that small PSA moment. Stop. Just stop. Please stop ruining things. Moving on.
Yeah.
So I guess, like, sticking in the gay area, Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy actually got married, I guess, in Injustice, which I don't think I've gotten that far, but...
Did they? Like, for real? Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's... So, apparently, nice. I guess further down in the story, they end up getting split off, which doesn't surprise me, just because of how their personalities work, because Harley Quinn, like, has a good heart. She's just easily manipulated and slightly crazy, and...
Hmm. Well, we'll see if it sticks or if this is just like any other superhero telenovela.
I guess in the video game they end up on opposite sides, so whatever it is, it doesn't work out. But I'm just like, here you go, everybody. Here's some real love. No more. Don't talk about Joker no more. No.
Yeah.
Here you go. This is real love.
Yeah, their relationship, like, over the course of...
is hilarious and great.
Well, over the course of, like, the animated series, and then into miniseries specifically done, and then, like, actually making it into the comics, has been one that's, like, very naturally progressed.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
In such a way, like, it was initially, like, Poison Ivy going, this... girl's an idiot, you know, like starting from that and then falling for her, which is
That's like the best part. She's like, she has that look on her face of trying to process. Is she really just,
yeah, they complete
really
each other,
yeah, right?
It's like the classic, like, Poison Ivy teaches Harley to have some responsibility, yeah. And Harley teaches Poison Ivy that it's okay to loosen up every now and then, you know.
Sometimes you just gotta let those leaves go.
Sorry.
Okay.
Oh, God. Sorry, puns need to stop.
Puns today.
Grass puns.
Oh, pain.
Well, I guess I'll take it away. I just have a real quick shout-out to this one. Apparently, embiggen is now an official Merriam-Webster's dictionary word.
Nice.
So for Miss Marvel fans, that's her famous catchphrase. I guess it actually stems from a Simpsons episode. Huh. Like, in the 90s, that was, like, the first time it was used. But
what?
I think we can all agree that Miss Marvel had no little part to play in it. Just
now,
getting into the dictionary.
So, I'm like, I did not know that. And Biggin, though, totally associating with Miss Marvel.
Yeah, I don't know if G Willow did that because she's a Simpsons fan, or if she just maybe coincidentally made it up also.
That's
but,
kind of funny.
Yeah. Cool. Words are awesome.
Words are awesome.
So now you can say that, and you can technically be fine. You can write that in college essays.
Yeah!
If you want. Academic papers. Yeah. And then I found that the rats were embiggened by the chemicals I gave them.
Oh my god, for science essays? Like,
yeah.
Great. Sorry.
All you scientists out there, please take advantage of this.
Yeah, right.
My brain's
please.
A little
I'll
fried
read that
right
stuff.
Now.
Oh, man. All right. Well, what else do you have for us?
So the official announcement of Uncanny X-Men returning has been announced. Wow, I'm, like, way off my rocker today. Sorry. But it's an X-Men disassembled arc. And Kat, you were saying it's 10 weekly issues?
Yeah. I hope you can all hear my sigh.
10 weekly issues.
It's
going to be a 10-part weekly series.
Why?
And it said... Here's the thing that's in quotes, though, is it could very well be the X-Men's final mission. Could.
Oh,
so it doesn't really mean anything.
But until time travel.
Well, what's the rush? Why? What's the rush? Why are they trying to get it out in 10 weeks?
I don't know.
There's no reason.
Everything they do anymore, I'm like, please stop.
Well, it's so
You're
weird, like,
me.
They... on sort of a weird stride with X-Men, and the extermination event is occurring right now, so yeah, we're going to go from extermination to disassembled?
I don't get this. Speaking of extermination, is it a monthly or is it a weekly?
I think extermination is a monthly. I don't know.
This is, like, neither here nor there with this crap anymore. Yeah. I mean, they're supposedly supposed to be written by Ed Brisson, Kelly Thompson, and Matthew Rosenberg, and then, Ed Brisson's doing Extermination.
Oh, okay.
So far that's been really good, so I don't know if they're doing, like, part one is this person, part two is this person, and part three is this person, or they're all working together. I'm not super positive, but either way, I'm just kind of like, why are you doing this to me in, like, a span of 2 months?
That's a lot of issues.
Yeah, it is. I'm just like, you're a dick.
It's like at $3 a piece. Like,
yeah, extermination, I think, is $4.99.
Oh, sheesh.
Yeah, I think so. It's like $3.99 or $4.99. I'm pretty sure it's on the higher spectrum of it. So I think. Yeah, Extermination's $4.99.
Wow.
So
let's hope that these issues are not.
Yeah, seriously.
$5.
I understand you want people to read comics, but dear God.
Well, these quick weekly events feel like such a rushed reset is always the vibe I get from them is that they're trying to potentially fix a problem, but not do it in writing. Instead, they just blast out 10 issues.
Am I crazy, but I feel like Marvel is about to have, like, it's like for the last part of the year, all it is a, like, big events from Marvel.
Because
you have Spider-Geddon that's going to come. Now you have Extermination. You have Infinity Wars. Now they're doing this.
They have Death of the Inhumans occurring right now.
They're doing Death of Old Man Logan.
That makes sense. That for me is a separate issue because Logan is coming back, so.
But yeah, they're doing Return of Wolverine.
Yeah. Oh shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like all of these events, and I'm like,
you know what? Amazing Spider-Man. It's a good comic book.
So
not invent.
I don't know if they're trying to do what DC does with their special events, but DC also doesn't like bend me over the table with a 10-week part issue. So
It's so weird, like, I don't have a lot to say about this other than just, like, feeling disappointed. Like, right. I'm disappointed, okay? That's what I have to say. I feel disappointed.
I think we all
are. I feel so much of a shrug right now. My shoulders are gonna, like, perma-shrug during this, like, topic. So can we get off this so I can put my shoulders down now?
Yeah. Patrick, get us off of this.
Okay, I guess I'll, to get some
energy.
Let's go from something that I care absolutely nothing about to something that I care everything about. So, Slaughterhouse-5, was just picked up by Epics to run a TV series. This is, Kurt Vonnegut is, like, one of my favorite authors of all time, and this is one of the best, in my opinion, books ever written, and also according to pretty much every top 100 books of all time list you'll ever read.
Yeah.
And so, man, it's awesome. They have just, like, a staff attached to it, no, like, actors. I guess the director is going to be Carrie Skolgland, who is, she directed Handmaid's Tale, a little bit of The Walking Dead, and The Punisher, along with a lot of other things. So, which is really interesting because for people who aren't familiar with Kurt Vonnegut's style, he has this really dark, hilarious, like, style. So she obviously has, like, the dark, sinister feel down.
Right.
But I'm hoping, like, and she even has a little humor in there, like, those shows, like, they kind of have the chuckles, but, like Kurt Vonnegut's books are, like, literally, like, 5,000 people died. Here's a, like, and then you laugh out loud at a joke.
Ooh.
Or whatever.
Okay.
Like,
sounds like a happy game for this.
Yeah.
So, we were talking about time travel. This is, like, the best time travel thing. So, the main character in it is unstuck in time, which means that the whole book just bounces back. He's, like, at one point, he's a soldier in World War II, and then he's getting shot in the head, and then it bounces back to him getting married, and then he's stranded on this planet in an alien zoo.
Is he the same person?
Yeah, he's the same person, and it's
so
just,
can
like,
he die? Follow-up question.
Well, there's a part in, like, the middle of the book where he flashes forward to his assassination and then flashes back to, like, his childhood and then, like, flashes and then, like, jumps through time forward through. It's, like... So I have no idea.
To follow this.
This is why it's taken this long to make this. Yes, it's going to be a TV series, which I also don't know how they're going to do that because the book is only, like, 250 pages long.
So maybe it's, like, a 13-episode.
I can see it doing as a mini-series, but, like... I have no idea how they're gonna do this at all.
This screams Netflix or Amazon to me. Is there a network attached?
Epics. Yeah.
I'm not very familiar with what was it again?
Slaughterhouse-Five. So this is based on Kurt Vonnegut. It was actually in World War II in a slaughterhouse during the worst bombing in the European front. He was a prisoner of war, but this book is technically like a science fiction book. And so it's like, yeah, technically that's kind of him, but also he definitely wasn't trapped in an alien zoo for a few years, probably.
Weird.
So, yeah, it's...
Where am I?
I know, right?
I mean, I've heard a lot about this book when I was a kid, but I never read it.
It's worth... It's quick, it's fun, it's... There's a reason it's on every top book list you'll ever see. Great American Novels, best books of all time, blah blah blah. So
love,
cool,
Patrick,
yeah,
love,
and
love.
for me
super energy. I apologize, I'd be more energetic about that, but once again I just
so yeah
no to be no excited about something you don't know you haven't read though.
Yeah, it's just the overall feeling that I have today. It has nothing to do with like subject matter.
All right.
I mean, I probably get real mad written. So, like that's neither here nor there.
Well, at least get excited with me.
Woo! Yay!
That's yeah.
A lot to do.
So, what else do you have for us now? Do you have anything?
So Cyborg has been cast for the Doom Patrol TV series.
You really should get higher because that's how much we're still questioning it more than that.
Yeah. So, Jovian Wade, is cast as Cyborg, Vic Stone, and Doom Patrol. But... not in Titans live action.
No one knows what's going on. Anymore.
Yeah, there's just some weird decisions happening, I guess.
There are choices being made, and no one's really sure what to do about it.
Well, and Beast Boy is originally from Doom Patrol and then joins the Titans, but Beast Boy is in the main core Titans group.
Yeah. Maybe they do like a prisoner swap at one point.
Right. There you go.
Like, we'll give you Cyborg if we get Beast Boy.
Yeah. The green dude is weird, so we'll take the cybernetic man.
Yeah, exactly. He has more of a Doom Patrol vibe.
Right. I actually wonder if
I'm just
going to
go back and I'm like, you know what, if this disappoints me, I'll just watch Teen Titans Go. It'll be fine.
Right. Or the sixth season of normal Teen Titans.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
I think this may be like an issue of press releases, like the publicists not knowing what's going on, because it seems as if these two shows are really heavily tied together. Doom Patrol being an episode title for Titans, and I'm kind of wondering if he is cast in Titans, but like he comes in the Doom Patrol episode, so it's he's not a Doom Patrol lead, but he's actually a late season Titans lead, and there's just like wires crossed in the communication output. I don't know. Like, it seems really weird to me. Like, I'm trying to wrap my brain around something that I'm not particularly excited for.
It's like trying to walk around in a circle, trying to connect the lines.
Yeah, it's like he puts one over
and it like the other one moves.
I'm fan canning it. You know, like in this in my head, that's how this works.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think it's cool that there's going to be a Cyborg. I just wish Cyborg was part of the Titans. It feels right to have him with that team. Like, he's part of the core of that group. And not that I dislike him as being like a member of the Justice League, but I feel like that's been so heavily forced since the New 52 that in stories that they do the character a disservice. Plus, I really liked him in the Justice League movie, and I kind of would like to see more of that actor. So,
yeah.
Well, my turn. I think something that you should be excited about, Nat, is Geoff Johns has clarified three Jokers is in continuity, even though it's going to be Black Label.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. I tried and got nowhere.
Geoff Johns is not an executive at DC and Warner Brothers anymore. So I'm sure it's in continuity when he's writing it. But based on Tom King's way of writing Batman, I don't think the three Jokers are in continuity anymore. I don't know. That's an overwhelming, like, it's a piece of discussion that doesn't matter to me because I'm excited about the story. And I think that's the bigger thing is what the hell they're going to do with this. And they're, you know, once again, fan canon. If this works and you start to look at the history of the characters and it fits in that well, it'll be an interesting discussion point later on. You know, where Joker fits and is Joker an identity, and that's really scary. Like the whole like legacy aspect of the idea of a homicidal clown.
And there's three of them,
right? And it's just like and now there's three of them. Yeah, right? You know, 20 years from now, there's seven different Jokers. You know, like.
It's going to be Batman Beyond with all the Joker gang.
Patrick, you have any opinions on this? Like,
I don't, because, like, with anything, I'll just wait. I just want to wait to see how they pull it off. Like,
I want a
date. It could be great. It could be terrible.
That's the one thing I'm asking for at this point. I want a date.
Yeah, like, that's the thing with Black Label. It's like, it's a slow burn right now.
It really is, because the first piece that they finally, the first Black Label is going to be Batman and the Damned, isn't it?
Yeah, Batman Damned.
Yeah, that's Batman Damned.
And that'll be out in October. Or issue one? I don't know, like, once again, formatting is weird. They're prestige format, so I guess we'll call them issues, but.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, yeah, the first one.
And can we say, yay, prestige format, oversized, nice bindings.
Yes. Learn from Boom.
Learn from your past. I'm talking to you, yes. Dark Knight Returns.
Yes. I love those comics. They're great.
Nice. Yeah, well, I just see. I mean, they could pull it off well. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, Johns is, at his core, he's a great writer. Yeah. And if that's going to be the core concept is that he's writing this idea, then that's...
Yeah. I'm just mostly curious as to, like, why this is necessary, so particularly how they fit in together.
Yeah, because it's the response to the question that Batman asks is, who is the Joker?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So the answer is that there are three. I guess it was technically New 52 when the question was asked. The answer was done as Rebirth. In the Rebirth issue, that is when the answer is given, is there were three.
Like, my big thing is, like, if there's three of them, I feel like somebody would have noticed by now, because, like, the Joker's doing a crazy thing over here, and then another Joker. Unless they, like, all work in,
they're
like,
thinking
collusion.
About the way that it's been presented is that through time, it's been different Jokers. So, like, initially we had one guy who fell in the vat of chemicals, and, like, that was the first Joker story, and...
So he's, like, the redhead. It's, like, a mantle that just keeps getting passed. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's terrifying, too, because then you can, like, kill the Joker, and then the next person
It's like Batman, except the reverse, and horrible.
Yeah.
And, you know, why are these people closely tied to each other?
It's just really funny that they come up.
How is the new Joker chosen, too?
Right.
Is it like an app? Do you send in your resume?
Right, exactly.
And, well, that's the other thing, too, is, like, what oh my god, I'm blinking, White Knight?
Mm-hmm.
Two Harleys.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the cool thing about that one. They're like, oh, there's going to be two Harleys. I was like, why and how? And then he was like, this is why and this is how. And I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, he sends in his resume.
That's true.
I
would love to be the new
Joker. With a cover letter.
Dear Joker Corp.
Right. I think it would be called, like, Smilex Inc.
You're right.
Dear Smilex Inc., I'm looking for the position of purple-suited menace.
Purple-suited menace.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus.
So. Like, my take on the Joker character, just, you know, hear this out there, is Hawaiian shirts.
It's God.
Oh, it's like an acting audition you go in. Right? And you're like, here's my character as the Joker. I really hope you enjoy it. So
you would be like the best, like,
they
meta.
They give him, like, a person to kill in whatever specific way they want.
The best meta thing they could do is that they give one of the Jokers an actual name, and it's Joaquin Phoenix. It's like, my name is Joaquin Phoenix, and I am the Joker. It's like, wait, what?
Hold on, wait, back up.
Yeah.
Way to loop things.
That would be pretty funny. So, you got anything else for us, Kat?
Yeah, it's not really anything special. I just think it's kind of funny. Fox is apparently they're developing a Simpsons movie sequel, and then Family Guy is supposedly getting a live-action hybrid film, and then Bob's Burgers, I think, is getting a movie, too. And I'm like, does someone feel inadequate after the Disney buyout?
Yeah, I don't... this screams to me like, hey, movies in development that will never get made.
Yeah, I don't see them. I could see them doing a Bob's Burgers movie. Yeah. I don't think Matt Groening would want to do a second Simpsons movie.
I think probably if he did, not. He would try to put it on Netflix at this point, too.
Yeah, at this point, maybe. But
I don't know where the rights for that are owned, like how much he has creatively.
Oh, that's true.
But yeah, I'm just like, somebody feel the attic.
Too soon.
Gotta pop out all these cartoons, man. Disney doesn't do cartoons.
Shit.
Anyway.
But
I got one more
and it's like there, and this apparently, this rumor surfaced like in March, but apparently it's like some rumor out of some there are rumors of Tom Cruise to play Hal Jordan in the Green Lantern Corps, but the rumor is like they want to kill him off. And he told them, no, you can't do that. And I'm like, no, it's okay. You're like 50.
So this is, in my opinion, fantastic casting. I think he is nearly the perfect Hal Jordan. But I thought this, you know, 10 years ago when I was in my early 20s, when Tom Cruise should have been cast as Hal Jordan. Cast him as Sinestro?
Oh, I'd be game. I'd be game for that.
You don't have to kill him off. You can make him a primary villain. He's still, you know, part of the Lantern Corps. Why are you going to cast somebody at...
It was like Ben Affleck. I was like, oh, cool. That makes sense because they're doing more of a return. I was like, but how...
Yeah, Hal, if he's going to be the cornerstone Lantern for, like, the Justice League going forward, then... You're casting a little too old.
What they could do, which would be really cool, is if they have him as Hal Jordan, and then they have a younger John Stewart, who he's like, he gets the ring, and then the older Hal Jordan is like mentoring him and showing him the ropes, and then you have that the emotional arc. So when he dies at the end of the second act, then we have. Compelling reason to end the movie, you know. So if they kill him off like that,
do the buddy cop story, but
Sean Connery and Highlander,
you limit yourself storytelling wise to be able to do more with Hal if you cast Tom Cruise.
You
can't bring him back. You can't do like a space adventure later on where the Green Lanterns go like into deep space and they run into Hal again. And he's still out there as a Lantern, or still out there as a protector. And I
thought they were going with John Stewart. That's why when I saw this,
everything that I've
confused.
Heard is buddy cop movie. So it's supposed to be it's going to be John Stewart.
Who's the other besides?
There's Kyle. There's Guy Gardner.
I don't know why they don't do Kyle then.
Kyle's not popular, and I'm pretty sure Kyle's going to die in the event for DC.
Actually, his Green Lantern costume is like my favorite one.
Oh, I'm a '90s JLA Grant Morrison kid, so my my Green Lantern is Kyle, and my Flash is Wally West. So I am definitely in the core market that yes, you should do Kyle. Kyle's amazing. Also, Kyle was the character I wanted to be because he's an artist.
What about those two newest Green Lanterns? The dude with the gun and.
Simon Baz and Jessica Cruz. You could do that. Would be an interesting story.
They're technically they're like both. I don't know. I don't understand that comic. I never read it, so I never read that Green Lantern one. But they are both Green Lanterns, but they share the same power, right?
They have different powers. That's a complicated one.
That's the one where I'm like,
but that's
unpacking
a great
this?
One, like where you could do the mentor story again, like in a second or third film, is to be able to like bring in these two characters who need to deal with an older Lantern. So I guess that would work with like Cruise, but I just really want to see John Stewart. Like, that for me.
But that was the thing, is like, that's what I understood. I thought that's what they were doing, was going to do Jon Stewart as the main Lantern. I mean, that's who's the main Lantern right now in Justice League. It's Jon Stewart. Hal Jordan has no part of it.
The thing I want to see the most from this would be Jon Stewart in it, just so that they can have like a clip where it's like after his first getting famous, he's on Jon Stewart's show.
That would be great.
So he can be like, "Jon, it's great to see you here. It's great to see you too, Jon."
That's hilarious.
Just like a minute, you know, like how they do that.
Yeah.
Like,
when they get famous,
That's funny.
And sometimes they'll get like the actual talk show hosts to sit down with them and stuff. Yeah, that
I don't know what they're attempting to do, but it was kind of like, I understood the Batman casting a little bit more, because after having some looking into it, it was, you know, the Dark Knight Returns Batman, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they were doing an older character.
So they were doing an older Bruce Wayne, which I could understand. All right, I'm like, all right, cool, that makes sense. Like, and they're like, yeah, there's rumors of Tom Cruise. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. I don't know how, like, legitimate these things are, too.
I don't either, but...
I feel like his name is Sir Felix.
Like, the one thing I will say that DC should probably learn is you don't always necessarily need a big-time actor to make things successful.
Warner Brothers.
Okay, I'm
Warner Brothers needs to learn this.
That's what I meant to say, and I said that wrong. But yeah, Warner Brothers needs to learn, just because in Superman, Batman should have told you that. Ben Affleck is Batman. It bombed.
That didn't bomb because of Ben Affleck. That bombed because there's major story problems.
That's
my point, though.
Hashtag Ben Affleck is my Batman.
I think in Batman vs. Superman, he actually did a great job as Batman. He was not the downfall of that movie. The movie itself was the downfall.
But that's the point I'm trying to make, is just because you have a giant actor in this movie...
It doesn't make it a
That's what I was trying to get to the point.
Hashtag Green Lantern movie.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Considering, you know, we are actually in a weird age where the director has more... pull for viewers, like, to say directed by the director of XYZ, you know, an actor driven film. Like the 90s were actor driven movies, you know, you'd say things like starring Tom Cruise, and everybody's like, oh, it's a Tom Cruise movie, I have to go see it.
Yeah,
but that's not the case anymore.
Like, oh, right, you see like Ryan Coogler's new movie,
exactly, like, you know? Like, from the director of Black Panther, it's like, done, I'm in. You know, like, exactly. That is where we are.
It's like that SNL bit where it's like, you had me at Wes Anderson.
that's just kind of the thing that, until they learn that, I'm just going to keep getting crappy movies.
I think, though, honestly, with the exceptions of Affleck, if you look at the casting for the DC cinematic, what is it, Worlds of DC is what they're calling it now?
Yeah, I guess you're right on that point, but it's like...
Because Gal was unknown.
She was on... Well, I think she was in, like, little pieces, and then
she was in, like, Fast and Furious, but...
Yeah, she was awesome in that movie, in case anybody's curious. She was a badass.
Cavill, great actor, but people didn't picture, you know, him being that big-name Superman, although he was actually in the discussions for the previous Superman films. Jason Momoa is, like, through cultural zeitgeist big. I don't know that he's, like, a massive star, though.
He wasn't.
He wasn't until, I think...
My girlfriend has a Chris Pratt thing going on with him,
where he's, like, he's in, like, very culty things, and just now we're in, like, whoa, Jason Momoa, where did you... Yeah, no, he's gonna be, you know, in the... I mean, he's already Aquaman, so that was, like...
It's
he's
just
gonna
be called
Drago.
See if he's in the next Jurassic World.
Yeah, right. It's just, like, I don't know. It's, like, the whole... I felt like the whole selling point that they made when they did Batman vs. Superman was, Ben Affleck is Batman! And I'm like, this better have a good story. I don't care who you cast.
Yeah, right?
Like I said, I thought he did a great job as Batman.
And once again, Cavill's amazing
and
Superman.
Cavill, he does a good job. He actually, like, has a very compelling Superman.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, I think Man of Steel is a really underrated film.
Yeah.
I say that a lot. one last bit of news before we go into discussion,
bits of news, actually. So I'll just do some quick stuff first. East of West is set to end at issue 46. So, yeah, good run. It's pretty long, so obviously it's told the story.
No, comics need to go for forever. Yeah, right? I understand.
Until it's let me clarify. Issue 1000. Yeah. Let me clarify my applause. I'm applauding the fact that a writer and artist have made a decision to end a story. Like, that's, to me, an important mm-hmm. thing that people should be willing to do.
Yep.
So
I think that's true. I think that's my big thing, sort of side tangent here with, like, television, mm-hmm. is I think that once people saw that you could just end TV, it started with, really started with Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Just ending. And so before that, they went on infinitely. And I think now in comics, people are starting to realize that too, that you don't have to make things go on until right. they get bad. You can just stop.
Yeah.
And it'll be fine.
Yep.
So, Once Upon a Time Show took notes from that.
Small tangent there. Yeah. Everything, yeah. 90s sitcom
Japan?
Should have taken
No. You had this figured out a long time ago.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, anime.
Yeah. Like, I know, right?
You know where you at.
Yeah.
And BBC, too. You guys know it.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, Iron Fist Season 2 trailer.
Yes!
Yeah. That looks actually good.
That was actually a surprise for me for the week, because I've seen the first season, and I'm like, I don't care about any of this. What is this garbage?
Yeah, the first season is garbage.
Had to like drag myself through it. It was terrible.
But apparently, as Nat was saying earlier, they're apparently getting rid of like basically the entire like directorial staff.
Yeah.
And getting new directors, showrunners.
It's
new fight coordinator.
Fight coordinators.
This series everything. Looks awesome, and they're going. They showed blips of his costume.
Yeah, I think that might be actually.
They started out with like the.
It's like an evil Iron Fist.
Yeah,
they started out. Funny enough, he had the green jacket.
And he had like instead of a domino style mask, he had like the ninja mask over his face.
Yeah,
and then they showed
and it has
features of his mask.
Too. Yeah, and I think that's a sequence in Kunlun, like I think they're actually going to show like that final fight between him and Davos to
probably
like who is chosen to be the Iron Fist,
and it looks like Misty Knight's going to be in it.
Yeah,
too.
Misty and Colleen.
Yeah,
Daughters of the Dragon.
To officially call it, but I think from what I've at least seen, they're just going to be together all the time and just kick ass.
That'd be a sweet miniseries title, though, like Daughters of the Dragon.
Oh my god, that would be a great show too. Yeah. Misty Knight and Colleen just doing whatever it is that they do.
I still haven't finished Luke Cage, and I should really do that before.
Oh man, and when Misty comes back in season 2 of Luke Cage, dang, yeah, that's some really really good stuff, actually.
I enjoyed the few quips she had, like when she's. I've seen like 2 episodes. She's like, "I lost my arm. Shut up." That's basically what this entire speech was in front of a precinct. It was great.
That's awesome.
Well, it's really cool because, like, I don't know, there's a lot of attention to detail with it too. Because, like, before she gets the prosthetic, she's in like this bar fight, right? And she goes to like. She's like punching people and doing general badass, and she goes to like swing with her other arm,
and kind of
stops and like looks at it, like there's a hesitation where she's like, "Oh shit, that's not." Like...
I listened to an interview with the actress, and she talked about like the fact that they had to like tape her arm back, and you know, make her
Because in the
work
if you watch when she walks in, she doesn't because I know that she when she doesn't because I've only seen like episode 2 or 3. They do actually fold her her jacket and everything.
Yeah.
So.
Which is like, and
I don't think it's CG either for that when they fold the jacket and everything.
Yeah, they probably just have her pinned back enough that they can just do the fold. They might have like her arm in a green sleeve so that if any of it does like pop out, they just
But yeah.
I think it's really cool like that,
so cool,
too.
So cool, yeah. Iron Fist. I'm actually excited for season 2.
Yeah,
I never thought I would say that.
I like the actor, too.
Like, I think he got unnecessarily chastised. Like, he was poorly written.
That's what I was saying. Like, when Defenders came out, within the first episode, he's already better characterized than the entire series.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or than his entire first season.
And same in Luke Cage, too.
And within the first 5 minutes of seeing him in Luke Cage, he's a better character than his entire first season.
Yeah.
Smart.
So, yeah.
Make the right decisions.
Then I have, let's see, 2 more bits of news. Marvel Rising Initiation just dropped. This is basically a series. They finally put together all the clips from the Marvel Rising exclusives, and it makes a full, like, 20-minute episode on YouTube that's supposed to be like a prologue before the movie.
Do you know where, like, what network this is supposed to be Disney. On? It is Disney.
Disney XD is where the movie is going to premiere. But yeah, all of these are just on YouTube right now. Cool. So you can go just look it up. It's fun. It's worth a watch. It's
I will
fun
definitely be watching
fast,
this later.
And fast going, yeah. I don't want to like get into all the details, but
unfortunately, you know. We're lazy and didn't get a chance to watch it. So
yeah.
It's been a rough week for everybody.
Yeah,
I may or may not have seen it twice. So.
Awesome.
And then I think the very last bit of news that I have is that. Apparently, Patrick Stewart is going to reprise his role as Jean-Luc Picard.
Oh my god, how did I not write this down? Yeah. this is some seriously major stuff.
Yeah, I know Kat doesn't really have much input into this.
Right.
Not a space person.
But, so Star Trek.
But, you know, I was reading some, like, comments on this or whatever, and someone was like, oh, what is this? He's going to be, like, retired. It's supposed to be, like, afterwards from what they said. So it was like, oh, what, is he going to be retired and just working a fucking vineyard? Is that going to be it? And somebody replied, no. He's a specialist in archaeology, which means what we could get is basically Star Trek Indiana Jones.
Oh, my
Star
God.
Featuring Jean-Luc Picard instead of Indiana Jones.
Oh, that would be so cool.
Would that be, like, the dopest
Oh,
show
my God.
Ever?
Like, Starfleet has to find him, and he's on some random... Like, he's not even on Earth. He's on some random planet doing, like, archaeological finds there.
Yeah,
like,
you know, he's, like, halfway down a cliff face, dusting, like, a, you know, a thing, and then there's a trap trigger, and the folder's rolling out.
Between this and Discovery, like, there is a debate in my head to get this CBS All Access stuff because I want to watch Discovery. I've been like pretty impressed with what people have to say about like, I know it's sort of polarizing, but
I haven't finished the series yet. I'm probably like 4 or 5 episodes into it, but but so far Discovery is, and this is coming from a Star Trek fan, it's the most solid, at least like, it's the most solid character-driven Star Trek I've seen yet.
Okay. Wow.
So, as far as, like, the hard sci-fi aspects, it does have those, but it doesn't focus on as much as other ones. But as far as just, like, emotional and character-driven plots, I think this is... Discovery is the number one, in my opinion.
Cool.
So, yeah, that's it for me as far as news goes.
So I just have the announcement to make that 2019 is the year of Batman. We're going to celebrate the 80th birthday of the character as we did this year with Superman. And
woo!
Yeah, it's going to be fun stuff. Our Detective Comics is getting close to that 1,000 number. New creative team will be shifting on that book at the end of this year, so heading towards the 1,000.
Batman.
I have it.
Batman.
Oh, just kidding. I don't have this week's Batman comic. I was gonna be like, yeah, it's issued. I think it's like 987.
Yeah, it's close.
It's getting really close. I'm actually.
I think 1,000 is supposed to be in March, if memory serves.
Really?
Yeah. Because that's the anniversary.
Huh. I'm curious how they're gonna do that. Because if they're doing them bi-weekly, I'm like, you'll reach it, and I guess not.
It's going to be close.
Yeah.
I just don't want the announcement that they did with that or Superman, that we're going to get a whole new creative teams on both books and yada, yada, yada. Anyway, I don't want to be cynical.
I'm sitting over here, and I'm like, oh, goody, I got to buy a bunch of variants again.
Yay! Oh, this is going to be worse like for me. I'll be you this time.
Oh, no, Nat, you don't think I'm going to get them all? I totally will.
Yeah,
and I'm still going to be me.
It's Batman.
Get whichever one is
right is on
first,
the shelf.
I'll read it.
Batman and Superman. They're best friends. No one realizes it, but they are.
Let me tell you.
I don't know. For me, if there's variant covers and they're all up there and next to each other, then I'll pick out, like, the coolest looking one.
Yeah.
If they do a similar style to what they did with Superman, I guarantee you I will have them all. Because they did what? They did that, like, from...
They did it through the decades.
The ages of...
Or eight, right?
Then. Yeah. Yeah, they did it through the ages. So they did, like, what started in the... They did the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, 60s. It was really cool.
Oh, my gosh. If they can get somebody to do or find an old cover that is... Jim Aparo in the 80s Batman.
Gang. Oh,
man, then they should do a future Batman, too. That's the one they missed out with Superman.
Oh, yeah, they should have done, like, yeah. Superman like, Beyond would, on one of the covers.
Yeah, like, did show the last one, right, like, what would, Superman I don't know, some just...
Or even Kingdom Come Superman, like, yes. There's precedent for, like, futuristic Superman.
Yeah, no, that's true. I was thinking, like, some campy sort of sci-fi, like, Superman with, like, you know, I don't know.
Like, the Trek uniform from our previous costume, where it's got, like, an S across it.
So yeah, basically.
Nat's already got me covered on the fact that I will want all 10,
yeah.
So.
Yay, 10.
Cool. All
right. How are we doing for time? Can we?
We have a minute here. Okay. I think we can get into our topic.
Yeah. Do you want to? You want to lead us off in that? What like?
Yeah. So I don't know. For those of our listeners who follow us on Facebook, and if you're listening to this, you should follow us on Facebook at Capes and Scowls West. I posed,
more plugs.
I posed the question earlier this week or last week. Can't remember how time works. Well, with podcasts, it doesn't matter how time works.
We're forever.
You're listening to this in the future. We're from the past. But yeah, so I asked if you were in charge of Marvel or DC for a day, or if you were in charge in general, what would be the first thing that you do? So if you had unlimited power over any realm of both of those companies, what would you do with that power?
I think I should go first because mine's going to probably be super quick and easy. Number one, no more bi-weekly issues. I'll die today.
Wait, so first of all, choose Marvel or DC.
It's going to be... Then, it's gonna
end up, we have to choose one or the other? Okay.
Yeah, so specifically you have to choose one or the other and then something.
Like, for DC, they don't bother me as much. Marvel is honestly my biggest, like, pain in my ass right now because with them, it's... Here's 14 events at the end of the year, all within 10 weeks, and they're a 10-part issue, all weekly. I'm like, please stop assaulting me.
Me too.
Right? I feel like I'm being, like, beat up for my lunch money again.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, being a comic fan is like being beat up for your lunch money, even as an adult.
Yeah. As an adult. I'm like,
we just couldn't stop. Yeah.
They, like,
come
out
school.
With these new events, and they're like, oh, yeah, X-Men Disassembled. It's a 10-part weekly issue.
There's
and
just
I'm like,
the Marvel
what?
Logo standing around the corner, like, smoking a cigarette. Yeah. Like, hey, where are you going? You want to go back into the shop and buy a comic? Oh, yeah, you know. Like,
and I'm just sitting over here, like, and it's true. It's like, I don't get my lunch money. Because I'm like, well, I guess I won't eat this week.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So that's honestly
at least, unlike most muggings, at least they give you something in return.
that's true. Yeah, I'll give you that one. That is true.
For every $4 that they mug from you, you'll get 20 pages of content.
So, like, the most frustrating part for me is I feel a lot of the events that they do are extremely rushed, and I think I like events, I really do, but when you slam me with, you know, 5-6 of them at the end of the year, and
yeah.
They're a weekly thing, yeah. It makes me not want to read them.
Yeah.
No.
So, that's usually a lot of the time what happens with Marvel with me, is I usually am kind of like, eh.
Fair enough.
So.
Yeah. I think I'll go next just because mine is also going to be pretty quick, too. I would want to be in charge of DC for a day. And what I would do is I would completely overhaul their movie production ideas. So firstly,
you'd start in DC for a day and then move into a Warner Brothers executive position. You're like,
he's like, excuse me, I'm taking this.
Basically.
Like
you're
going to
be you're Kevin Feige of the DC universe.
Sure, yeah, basically. You can do multiple things. I'm just at DC for a day and then I quit and go to Warner Brothers. But no, what I would do is I would completely get rid of the idea that there needs to be continuity in the DC universe. Marvel already is almost oversaturating the market with superhero movies. So what I would do is I would just completely get rid of that, and I would specifically hire like top like writing and directing talent to take any character that they would want and make like different types of movies with them. So like, yeah, an action movie. Maybe you get Detective Chimp and do like a hard boiled like Private Eye movie.
Oh,
like you could get Harley and Ivy and do like a road trip like buddy comedy movie. You could get and you know maybe get Amy Schumer to write like a Harley and Ivy. You know what I'm saying? Like just completely get rid of all that and just be like, all top talent, come here, grab a character, make a movie, we'll help you produce it. Like, you know, maybe the Coen brothers want to direct a freaking, like, Booster Gold movie where it's like Looper and he goes back in time and like.
So you're in the camp then that's sort of excited about the Joker film, the one that's supposed to be just its own thing.
Yeah. So like, and then yeah, have like a mafia style Joker movie, like just completely move away from the whole genre of superhero movies in general, just because people are already getting sick of it, and I think it's, and DC is not close to being on the train, and everybody knows it. So just get off and start something.
I get my happiness from comics for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Wonder Woman, and honestly, like I said, and Man of Steel. I have that's like all
I got high hopes for Aquaman and Shazam.
I want to see Shazam, you know. Let's see Wes Anderson direct a Teen Titans movie.
Oh, Jesus. I'm not sure I want to sit through that. Actually,
well, maybe not. But anybody else? You know, whatever.
Something I would like take that. Like a. never mind. I don't know where my mind's going on that one.
Get Bill Murray to play old Superman.
Nicolas Cage shows up.
Superman has a conversation with God at a bar. Yeah. That's a 2-hour film right there.
Yeah, a philosophy movie. Yeah. You know, like they do, like... anyway.
I would love a philosophy film written from Superman's perspective.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. That would be interesting.
Yeah, just...
I don't know. I don't know some research.
Alright,
so I get to say?
Yeah, you gotta, it's,
I gotta
you
do
gotta,
it quick.
Yeah, you gotta,
alright,
so
I would be DC, I would steal Kat's idea to get rid of the bi-weekly shipping. Everything would go back to monthly that day. And, comic book creators would drive story and schedule. That means that we would take the Image model when, you know, Liam Sharp and Grant Morrison sign on to do Green Lantern. The Green Lantern will be on the schedule to keep them on it. So, no fill-ins, none of that stuff. If the book needs to take a month break, that's what the book gets.
You know what? Yeah. For me personally, I would be game
that's
for
cool.
that.
Because, well, that's...
I mean, the way they've been moving with trying to have all the different labels and stuff, like, they're clearly trying to go more towards that direction as it is.
Yeah, but with the labels. I'm saying for the core content, and that would be also the cap. Batman has Batman and Detective. Superman has Superman in Action. If you want to do a third Superman title, guess what? It's going to be part of the Black Label, and it's going to be out of continuity.
Yeah.
It's going to be keep things tight. Yeah. Don't expand the lines to the point that...
they're blurred.
We're oversaturated.
Fatigue.
I don't want oversaturation. I don't want confusion with continuity and what isn't continuity anymore. If something is going to be out of continuity story, let it be out of continuity. Mm. So put a different label on it. Don't put the normal numbering.
Yeah.
So, and keep it clean. Keep it clean.
Yeah, exactly. There's no reason to make things overly convoluted.
Because we're all excited for Black Label.
Things are already pretty complex in the superhero universes as they are.
Let's not add time travel to that.
just recently, because, and we'll talk about this in our reviews, but just recently reading the X-Men one, I'm like, what?
That's why X-Men Red's so good.
And I'm just sitting over here and I'm like drawing lines with yarn in my basement trying to figure out what's going on.
When you realize it's futile.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. If y'all see us around, let us know what you think too. We'd like to hear, we always like to hear y'all's opinions about everything.
Yeah.
So,
and have a nice discussion.
We are always up for a discussion.
A nice discussion. We do yell over each other here. We promise we'll try not to yell over you in real life.
Yeah, right? Wrong!
With that said, I'm going to make sure I have the loudest bye.
Okay, well, bye.
Bye!